If you enjoyed our shows, you should also be checking out the network we're a part of, the Fun Installers Network, whose promo will be playing next, and then we'll be on to the show. Welcome, listeners. We have a special little one-shot here because we are playing in our guest setting, Lugan. And we are playing Pathfinder, which is not something I expected us ever to do on the podcast when we started this podcast. So this is going to be very interesting because my views have changed since then.
Probably.
Why don't you give our listeners an introduction to your setting, and then we'll go through the players. Sound good with you?
Very well. Yes, excellent. Well, hello to everybody. My name is Mark Everhuis, and I am the creator of the Lugan The Grand Cross of Four project. So, the creator of the Lugan setting that this bunch of misfits will play in for tonight. And probably the night after as well. So a little intro for the Lugan setting. Lugan is a setting that takes magic, takes evolution and ecology, and actually makes it fit as well as it could. So building a natural world from the ground up, magic did it, is not an acceptable answer. We strive to use ecology and evolution to make as brilliant a high fantasy setting as we can. And so I'm gonna host a little intro through that for these people. And I would say, let's see who's joining me again for tonight. So let's see.
I'll go first.
Yeah, again, go.
So, hello, I am Nick. I am one of the regulars over on Dungeons of Pop, editor, Chaos Gremlin player. You can find me there. You can also find me on a new little side project we have called Four Friends and a Tabletop RPG. I think that about sums it up for myself.
What are you playing?
Oh, I am playing Tree High, the Hana, Samurai.
Yup. What do you remember still at the time? What is your character?
It's been a minute. I forget what I think I said he was like a oaken? No, cherry?
Yeah.
Oak, yeah, I think oak. I think it was like oakish.
I think it was oak. If I look at your color scheme of your, like, Hero Forge portrait.
Yeah, he's oak. Definitely oak.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he's a oakish, bark-skinned Tana. And he stands somewhere between 2 meters or so. And his age, well, it's kind of hard to tell, but, you know, older-ish.
All right. So, let's go to... who wants to go next? Okay, no response.
Sean goes next.
Okay, Sean goes next, sure. Let's go.
All right. Hey, y'all, it's Sean. I am... you heard me earlier, so you know I'm in this. And I am playing Nitroglycerin. I know I screwed this up last time. I don't know how to pronounce the class. Is it...
Anor Gowler of Frostflame.
Oh, yeah, Nanar Galar of Frostflame, which, if I remember, is like I make boom, explosions and fire and,
oh,
and
yes.
Frost.
And Anor is, you are part, let's call it a Chaos Elemental for now. There is oodles of lore behind it, but for, like, purplish Chaos Elemental, this has seeped into his lineage a little bit, making him a little bit
valuable.
And I am a quote-unquote doctor. And I sleep in a bathtub because I'm, as an Aenar, I am made of goo. A little bit. I'm ooze adjacent.
Ooze adjacent.
I like ooze adjacent.
Oh, God.
He is ooze adjacent. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's fitting.
That has become my new favorite word, adjacent.
Convergent.
So you are ooze adjacent. You are boom adjacent. You are adjacent to everything. Okay. So let's see. And then we have Brian, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I am playing Deckard Lazarus. I am a Cloudies. Cloudies. I'm a fish with wings.
Basically, yes.
And I'm a magnificent color scheme. My fish tail is black and purplish. My wings aren't really that big, but somehow I still manage to maintain flight. Let me make sure. And then, of course, I am a Galler of the Frost Flame. And
I'm the only non-spellcaster.
I make fire. Lots of it.
He also do. When this party goes boom, a lot of people.
Oh.
I swing a sword and I talk real good.
Yeah. It would have been like the first time I looked at this party, it was like, oh boy, this is going to be very interesting. And this is a lot of boom. This is a lot of boom. But, I mean,
Deckard prefers to solve things sometimes with fire. You cannot blame him.
Yes, I can.
Oh boy, I see people already testing.
I made a mistake. I was trying to bring up what, because I saw on one of them it was showing me what it does, and I hit the wrong button.
Now we see what it does.
Oh my!
It does a frost fry grenade as a AOE, so it does a lot of boom in a pretty good area.
Katana.
But yeah, these are our lovely misfits. So I'll take it a bit from here and give a nice little introduction. For you guys, if you want a refresher, there is a handout on the Roll20 in the handouts map called One Shot Hook. And there you have a small little press if you want to, in between, want to remind yourself what you guys are playing as or playing for. So we are this one shot takes place in a little quaint town called Kraft. Well, Kraft has this delightful tradition of the so-called Veil Knight Festival. Now, what is the Veil Knight Festival? The Veil Knight Festival is a harvest type festival that is very well known throughout, like, the whole nation that Kraft is located in, which is the Empire of Peros, and people come from far and wide to have a good time, typically, to trade, and very importantly, to pay their respects to the so-called Bovnaz, to the mountain and forest Bovnaz. The Bovnaz in Lugon are a kind of peculiar type of beings. You can see them as a mixture between elementals, fey, and undead. However, they're myths, right? They can't exist. I mean, that would be ridiculous if such weird creatures exist. Stop being silly. So, they have some rituals to appease them as well. And yeah, just for the rest, have a good time. This year is slightly different, however. The last couple of weeks before the festival, there has been some disappearances and some sightings in the woods and mountains that surround Kraft. Like woodwalkers that haven't come back, locals that have gone, like, missing, came back, raving, etc. So, something is going on. However, the Veil Knight Festival does go on. give or take with twice as many guards as normal. But still, people are going to try to have a fun time. And everybody of our nice little group has their own reason to be here. Or one reason together. You can decide it for yourself. So, we start off the story to the west of Kraft. You guys have been traveling for a couple of weeks also together. You guys already know each other quite well. And you've been traveling through a sort of hilly forested area, going from a more flat region to this more hilly area, more mountainous area where Kraft is located in. You see that it's morning, the sun is rising, you see it like illuminating the village beautifully as it stretches out before you. The chirping of birds reaches your ears, and the scent of dew in the morning enters your nostrils as well.
Oh.
So I would say take it away.
Let me think real quick about how Deckard would be with everyone at the moment.
I think, I would think probably Tree High being, the one with the highest diplomacy. It's just kind of observing the area. Just, he's probably making small talk with Deckard and Nitro as he quickly, I can't say that word, fuck it, as he has nicknamed Nitro Glycerin. He just calls him Nitro because it's easier, and bark throat doesn't make for easy pronunciation of words.
Nye's constantly trying to remind him his first name is Nye. He could just say Nye.
But he likes Nitro better.
Deckard's in a barrel.
I kicked the barrel.
Deckard's in a barrel.
He's in a barrel of water. He needs to make sure he's moist.
Tree High's probably got a branch in there.
Oh, yeah. Slurping up the water.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To give a little bit of background for the listeners, by the way, yes, Tihai has leaves, the Tana have leaves, and yes, they can photosynthesize. Yes, they actually have an ability for that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. If you get 3 hours of sunlight a day, you don't need to eat.
Which is wonderful.
So, it's very difficult to starve a Tana if they're outside.
Good luck sieging a colony of Tana. We just need sunlight, baby. We don't need nothing else.
Yeah, you need water, but it's like as long as you have like an underground water source, you're fine.
Good point.
But yeah, so the barrel is kicked. It's quite a heavy barrel, so it shakes a little bit. And you a couple of the people in the caravan are looking at you. They know you for like a week or something. They're like, yeah, okay. You know what? Sure. Let's just have them do their thing. And you are slowly approaching the Veil Knight Festival. First thing you hear is like just the commotion, the chattering of people visiting stalls, playing games. Like merchants shouting their wares, and yeah, just like the hustle and bustle of a nice little festival. And the scent of that morning dew is slowly replaced by the scent of baked goods, freshly oiled leather, and all other kinds of festival scents.
Ooh.
And you see that the caravan with which you have traveled is slowly breaking apart as people go on their separate ways to just go about their business here.
Go about your way. Oh.
I feel like Nye's trying to organize various barks and funguses that he's picked up on their travels here for his future doctorings.
So, like some fungi and such, right?
Yeah, like some fungi, bark. He's gonna
make me an intelligence check.
All right, let me look here. Intelligence.
Deckard, like, pokes his head up a little bit from his water barrel, and he has, like, the water in his hand. He's doing the squirt gun. He's, like, shooting the driver of the caravan.
You are going fast enough!
What? I just stopped that. Yeah, I know, like, I am going to bring you to the Bloody Festival, then we're going a separate race, okay? Just hold on for a little bit longer.
Squirt, 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 squirt.
Okay, you're fine then.
I poke Deckard with a branch, like, stop it.
Fine.
Hey, keep that buddy of yours in check. Or else I'm gonna drop him right here and he can, like, flop the rest of the way. Damn it.
I can float.
Yeah, you can float. You cannot float on stone.
Blup, 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 blup. Deckard's just like... just his eyes are showing. Blup, 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 blup.
I think absentmindedly, Nye just hands a flask over to T-High and gestures to the barrel.
Oh, I gladly pour it in. And I'm also going to take a sip.
What did you pour in?
It's alcohol.
It's alcohol, boy.
Okay. All right, until we get there, you just hear Deckard in his barrel.
All right. Anyway, Nye, from the fungi and such you have accumulated, you notice that you have an inkling that you've seen a couple of these before at certain alchemist stands. And, like, there is a little click at the back of your head that you realize that, hey, these, you might have an alchemical ingredient or two.
Oh, no.
I think Nye smiles at this and then adds it to his pouch labeled alchemical material. He has on his side. He's a doctor. He tells people he's a doctor. I mean, he's not a licensed doctor.
All right, so, you guys go into the festival. Deckard is quite unceremoniously dropped off the cart, the barrel just standing at the side of the road, about...
blah, 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 blah.
About here, while the caravan driver says his goodbyes to everybody except Deckard, and then... rides off deeper into the village, leaving you free alone.
There's a little fire spark on one of the wheels of the wagon.
Deckard, no!
It does nothing.
Nah! Deckard's okay, guys. He contemplates burning the wagon.
No, let's not do that.
One of the guards nearby glares at you and shows that he has seen that you are sparking at somebody's wagon.
Deckard goes, I'll behave.
I'll be good, I swear. I'm putting it away.
It's going away. It's going away. For now.
So.
Oh, Deckard speaks tree tongue, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. That's something that I speak as well. Because I do. I think I'm gonna look at Deckard and then tree speak. I'm gonna just tell him stop. Like, before we haven't even made it in there yet and we're getting ready to get fucked up. Like, quit.
Deckard just looks at him and just goes, okay, mom. Didn't have any kind of fun.
Nye just shakes his flask at him threateningly. He's like, no.
Booze.
No more booze.
We kept the top for that barrel for a reason, Deckard. Don't make us have to put a fish in a barrel.
Deckard just looks and he goes, ooh, nighttime juice. Not right now, though. Maybe later.
Right. So, you are at the edge of the festival, at the edge of all the hustle and bustle. Deckard is still in the barrel. You do see also Claudius moving about on the festival grounds. Not in a barrel. They actually look a little bit towards Deckard, being like, what the hell? Sure.
Don't you judge my barrel.
The one woman just raises her hands like, no, not at all. I won't judge you out loud.
Deckard, just a single tear goes by Deckard's face. He just, I thought it was, he decoratively painted the barrel too to pay respects to their festival. He's just, see how it is.
I look like a working effort for Gatha.
Let's see, how far, oh, you guys are, oh, yeah, you are there for a minute, and you hear a voice behind you, clapping, and
well, that is one big barrel. Sir, are you going to join the barrel-throwing contest?
Decker's just...
Because that is... Like, that barrel's almost too significant, so more too magnificent to like, throw. But it would appease the Bovnaz a lot. Yes.
Deckard is just like, oh, man, I want to be respectful to their culture, but this barrel was given to me by my father. This is how our kind
what?
Usually just interacts with you people, because water, we need it.
He looks at some of the other Cloudis and looks at you. No, they don't.
Decker's just like, good lord, my father lied to me.
Not.
Can I use one of my branches to poke a small hole through the barrel?
Many flashbacks just go through Deckard's mind of his dad always saying, "No, you can't leave the house. You need to be in your barrel."
You need to... What the...
In the barrel, boy. In the barrel.
You need to be in your barrel.
God damn it. So, make a strength check to see if you can poke a hole in the barrel.
The beginning.
You know how we are, Sean.
Oh, not deep. With great ease, just casually poke a decently sized hole in the barrel, and the water starts draining rapidly.
Decker just looks and he goes, "I will gladly throw this barrel of lies."
So the person that had approached you, the seems to be a little salesman, is wearing a veil in front of his head. Now that you look at it, everybody here is wearing a veil. It's like, all right, well, that perhaps it comes in a bit. Seen everything today. Anyway, so you want to throw that barrel of lies. Well, then I say you fill it with truths and offerings to appease the Bovnaz.
I like you.
However, you do need...
I think Nai says, so we just close it over him then. And then I think Nai has like a moment of deja vu and he feels confused because he's...
Yeah. Very confused.
And a joke for everyone involved.
Oh my god, God damn it. I am so happy.
So, well, if you want to join, gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
There's one small thing I do need to ask of you.
Mm-hmm.
You do need a veil. It's not called the Veil Night Festival for nothing.
Decker just looks and goes, "I love this place immediately. You people are amazingly awesome if you get to wear, like, cool mask. I love this place."
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, mask, Phil. I mean, we've got... You can buy, like, a normal one here. They don't, like, only cost, like, a copper. Or you can go for, like, a really fancy one.
I think I want to pay my respects as much as I can, so I'm going for the really fancy one.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, they also... they should have some that... where do you hail from? You hail from Herosha, by any chance?
Well, let me double check real quick.
I will say, Nai, at hearing this, takes out a parchment and looks it over. Oh, okay, that kind of veil. I thought that like a veil of mystery.
So Deckard looks and goes, "Why? Yes, I'm a little concerned about how you immediately knew this, but yes."
Well, I mean, Rosha is like one of the two major nations where Cloudus come from. It's not... I mean, it's a little ways away from here, but not terribly far.
I accept this answer. You are very smart. I like you. So, but...
He looks at you like... if you want to know where it is, there is a Lugon map handout. It's on the right-hand side, Hiroshi. And you are at the...
He hands him a gold.
Oh, what? Wait. Okay. I'll accept this for your entry in the barrel throwing contest then.
I was just giving you that for as a thank you.
So, you're giving me a golden hand as a friend? So, how? All right. Thank you very much then. That's, do I see you in a couple of minutes then at the barrel throwing contest?
Oh, you know it, my friend.
All right. Well, yeah. See you soon. And kind of flabbergasted, the man goes towards this area right here. If you see my ping. With belt.
I broke him down with my kindness.
Break him with the kindness.
Oh, wait. One last thing. If you want a veil, it's over there. Points.
Deckard happily just starts just hovering over in that direction, like, head over to get a veil, guys.
Ah, probably more slippery.
Okay, he's slithering. He's just like, I'm heading over to get a veil, guys. I'm gonna look fabulous.
So, what are the other two going to do?
I'm gonna join them and grab a veil.
All right. So you come at a like a circular tent with like an entrance, and it's a big veil shop, like a tent just full of veils, and one older-looking human with a pair of glasses standing behind like a big barrel that serves as like his register, kind of looks at you all.
Ah! So you want to buy a veil, huh?
I want the fanciest of veils!
Oh, I like you. Yeah, sure. What kind of color do you want, sir?
Do you have pink?
Yeah, sure do.
You're my new best friend.
Do you want to... You make friends very easily. Do you want one?
My dad told me to be nice to everyone I ever meet, man. That's the best way to go in life.
Right.
I think Nye looks and goes, Decker, you just also found out your father lied about barrels, so are you sure you should follow advice?
I think we have a lot more problems than just that.
Look, man, if there's anything I have to accept, it's just... Just at least let me have that, man. Come on, Nye.
Yeah.
Deckard just starts going through an existential crisis and is going to let you guys discuss the veil salesman first. He's just in the back corner. He's like crouched into like a little ball. And you see like a little dark cloud above him as he's just, why? My life is a lie.
Like fetus position, like tail wrapped around himself. Like,
yep. So you guys go ahead and start.
T.I. looks at Nye, and he's like,
should
we do anything? I feel like this is a problem. I'd like to walk over to...
I think Nye would put a hand on T.I.'s shoulder. No. This is therapy. Remember, T.I., I'm a doc. I know what I'm doing.
So I don't go pick him up and hold him like a baby? Okay.
You are not...
No. His father did that too much as a child. That's why he's the way he is. This is good for him to grow up a little.
Hey.
So, all right. So you don't have any like you guys are not from here, are you?
We're not from here.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Let's see. Like, I got. Do you have? Let me take a look. Like a purple, like pink one. Was it? He digs through and he gets like a very fancy one with embroidered blossoms and like plants, like a mixture of pink and green, like green leaves and such, contrasting quite nicely with the pinkness of the flowers and such. Was that one? What did one make you feel any better, sir? Okay, you know what? I'll just keep him here for the time being. It's totally fine.
I think I'm going to give the guy at the counter, I'm going to give him just 2 gold. Well, how much was it?
This one is 2 gold, yeah.
Decker throws 3 gold.
3.
Just take my money!
Yeah, you threw too much, sir.
Keep it as a tip!
No, sir.
Oh, boy. All right, what can I get you two, gentlemen?
I'll take a fancy one to go with my leaves and bark and such.
All right, do you want it in the same kind of style?
Sure.
All right, do you want in brown, dark green, light green?
I think a light green would be pretty nice.
Okay, light green. All right, let's take a look. So I got light green with flowers, light green with trees, light green with a river? A river. What do you want? What do you want?
Well, let's do the light green with the trees.
Light green with the trees. So we've got a tree veil for the tree Tana. All right. That'll be 2 gold, please.
I give him 3, and I'm like, keep it.
Oh, not you too.
Listen, that's a respect thing. Thank you. And I just walk away. That's it. I leave the 3. No discussion. I just walk off.
You need the money too, like in this option. I'm trying to be an honest salesman here. And like exasperated, he turns towards the last one. Okay. So what do you want, sir? So towards 9.
You wouldn't happen to have a seafoam colored veil, would you?
Seafoam? Of course I've got seafoam. Are you daft? Of course I have seafoam. I've got every kind of veil right here. Just give me a second. He opens up a large chest, rummages through it, and there he comes out with a light blue one with patterns of like white, like that web-like pattern that you see on top of the sea, at the edges of that veil, like a texture as if a wave is cresting there, just before it crashes down onto the surface.
Yeah, I think Nai would point to that.
So he comes towards you, hands you the veil, but stops midway. So, sir, that is 2 gold. 2.
I think Nai reaches into his pouch and pulls out 2 gold and hands it over and is like,
"Damn! Thank you." And he hands it over when you.
Dugan's right. Just like, don't we need information?
I can give you some info. What do you want to know?
Why my dad lied to me? No, not that. I'll deal with that later. But isn't there something weird going on in the woods? Dugan's just like still crouched near on the ground, just drawing a circle with his finger in the dirt.
All right. Disappearances.
He looks right. Not supposed to talk about it too much, but seeing as you are quite generous, come closer for a bit.
I lean in.
Deckard looks up at Oh crap, Nick, what was your character's name again?
Tree High.
He looks up at Tree High and goes, "I need upsies."
I pick him up. I'm like, "Come here, bud. It's all good."
Hold me.
Random branches wrap around him. Just miscellaneous branches.
When Deckard gets picked up, you just hear, "Ooh, feels nice.
It's very leafy."
It's very leafy. Yeah, you
so
better
sorry,
believe
Rook.
It.
I know this is more chaotic than the last time.
This is amazing. Leave me alone.
Are you just happy to see me or is that a stick?
No! No, this was supposed to be adorable. No. No, Deckard looks like Tree High like a dad.
No, I know.
This is innocent. This is innocent.
I feel like Nai just drops his head and hates that this is the reason why the nickname for this group in the circles they're known at is Tree's Horny Boys.
The salesman is just looking at you like in actual a bit incredibly like.
Sir, right. But I apologize, but you said you had a lead for us?
Yeah. Look, people, you hear a lot of things as a veil salesman here on the Veil Knight Festival. And they say that, do you know what the Veil Knight Festival is about, youngins?
Kinda? Give us a little more backstory.
Paying respect to gods?
No, not gods. What are gods anyway? You mean the Aerols? No.
People with power that are mean?
I mean, Bovnas can be mean. according to the stories. Look, there, like, your mother probably told you a couple of stories about different kinds of bofnas, right? Like spirits that are either sneaky or help you and such, you know. There are a lot of like kinds of bofnas. You've got bofnas that are more linked to the woods, more linked to the mountains, and by Legria's ample bosom, you also have some that are linked to, for example, cities. I heard a story once that you have like bofnas that act as if they were fortresses, people living in them. Until they are attacked, then they just stand up and defend themselves in times of severe need. That is the bofnas. They're mythical. They're scary or not scary. Depends on the individual. But it appears that, especially in the woods south of here, they've grown a little bit restless. As in, people have been seeing things. Even before the disappearances, they, like, wildlife was, like, hunting was getting less effective, according to old John anyway. But the last couple of weeks, like 3 weeks, there have been several disappearances. Last one was like 2 days ago. So, yeah, that's might be a little bit of info. That's why there are so many guards around here. This festival. They're trying to keep everybody out from the woods. Especially, except from the barrel throwing contest. I mean, it's only the barrels that go into the woods, so it's no harm in that.
So even though Deckard appears to be a overgrown manfish child, he is actually stupidly smart. And it's only for these type of things that involve a mystery is when his genius comes through. he puts a thumb in his mouth, he sucks on his thumb for a second, and he goes, "Who would be the best person to pursue to get information pertaining to where these disappearances happen to? And why do you people keep pushing the barrel throwing contest? I am suspicious about this now. But more back on point. Who should we reach out to? Who would have information about where these disappearances happened at? Because that seems it would be most important as well.
For our knowledge. Although I do want to explore that barrel throwing thing.
We will, Trihai. We will.
Well, like, the mayor is not really available at the moment, but that would have been my first guess. But the person that probably knows as much as the mayor, the going-ons around here, Searchard Vienna Irina, the owner of the inn, the Steaming Bowl.
Fantastic.
Also, if you, like you said, you were suspicious, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see something a little bit more suspicious, maybe a little bit more ancient, I cannot say much, but there's a building next to this tent.
Ah.
And there are things happening there, too. You'll see that the guards are different. It's every time of year there's something going on there. Something to do with the ruler of the Veil Knight Festival. For the rest, I cannot tell you how or what, but it's a ritual that is kept on the down low and even older than...
Deckard has been vigorously writing down notes, and he's just... Yeah, it's all coming together now. This is starting to make a little sense. Disappearances, strange ritual happening at the same time. I don't think we should talk to the mayor, guys.
Can Deckard be using one of my branches as as what he's riding on? No, as what he's riding on is just one of Deckard, one of Trihai's many branches.
Yes,
sure. You have plenty of bark and leaves and such. You can be a writing service if you want, sure.
You just hear Deckard go.
I mean, very coincidentally, one cultural thing of the Tana is that they use the pieces because they are partially
bark covered and still partially like skin covered, although their skin is relatively tough when compared to human skin. And yeah, they use the bark part of their body to actually hold decorations, small pieces of text, etc., etc. So it would even make cultural sense for you to be a writing service.
Yes, even better.
Dip, 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 dip.
All right. So, anyway, have fun with your veils. I need to help other customers. Good luck, and don't get yourself in too much trouble, okay? I mean, it would be good if this Veil Night Festival just could go on as usual.
We'll try not to get in trouble.
Yeah, good. Good, good.
Decker's just, no, I honestly don't think that would be for the best for us to have attention on us. So we'll be behaving.
Yeah. Sounds terrific. Well, anyway, I bid you lads a good day. Right?
Decker just looks up at Treehan and goes, I'm hungry.
Let's go find some food.
And I bow slightly and says, thank you for the lovely veil.
Yeah, no problem. He nods his head. Gives you guys a little wave as
Treehan bows and says thank you as well.
The minute Deckard gets outside, he puts on his serious face and goes, okay, guys, I think we really need to be careful here because I don't know if you guys were listening as closely as I was, but Mare's nowhere to be found. Mysterious group doing strange rituals to some kind of God thing, and people are disappearing.
Yeah, something so suspicious is happening.
It just one thing is suspicious. Two things, it's a little odd. But three, that's too many coincidences. I think we need to be very careful around these guards.
I mean, the mayor's missing. That's suspicious in and of itself.
Oh goodness gracious! I think our best bet. Blend in. Let's do our best to pretend that we're having fun with this festival, that we are not onto their games, but I don't know how deep this goes. Is it the entire town? How many people are involved in this? I don't know. But guys, I think we have basically ventured into the lion's den.
I think it'll be interesting. I think we be careful, put the masks on so we blend into the crowd and...
Oh, Deckard's already got his veil on. He's like, I thought you guys already put yours on. I got put mine on the minute he handed it to me. And he told me the mayor was missing.
If the guy immediately starts putting it on, he's like, oh,
shit. The veils give you guys, if you use the veil in your getup, you get a +1 bonus on disguise checks.
Oh, thank God.
Nice.
Deckard's suspicions go even harder now because he's like, why do you need it? I'm terrified. Oh, God. What have we gone and done? Why did we agree to this?
It sounded fun at the time. Now it's sounding not very fun.
So, let's take a look. You are at the front of the tent. To your west, you see one of the two festival grounds. And to your right, you see the building the guy was talking about. And a little bit further away, you see the backside of the inn.
And he's looking at both of them. He's like, if we're trying to blend in, should we go check out some of these attractions, if you will?
Treehat's got a beer. Let's go do the barrel contest. He just looks at Treehat like, I know you've been waiting for this.
Treehat's a very shifty look in his eyes. He's like, a thought.
No, I'm the one who said that we needed to blend in, so let's go do the barrel contest. Nye, you have any other suggestions of what we should do next?
I think you're right. We're going to find out more just blending in, because then if we blend in, if we keep it on the low end, if there's someone taking people, we basically make ourselves look like easy marks. Might learn more that way.
I feel bad for the son of a bitch who tries to steal us.
You think about it, we're from out of town. No one. We're from out of town. We just play off as being normal citizens. we're easy marks. Who's going to notice us missing?
Wow, Nitro, you make a good point there.
Deckard's just...
See, like I said, we have thrust ourselves into danger.
That's fine. We can handle a little bit of danger.
Oh, God. All right,
so where are you guys heading? Also, as a note, all of you can move the party token. So you can also move it yourself.
All right, let's go to the barrel contest, which is, over here.
Yup. All right. So you walk over there, and as you walk here, you look back, and you see two guards standing here at the suspicious building, who are totally clad in white, heavily armed, one with a shield and a long sword, the other one with a long sword, both looking focused, alert, and better equipped than the other guards.
Well, you've just given me what Deckard is not going to stop looking at. His gaze is stuck on that area, and he's just... He's going to go as far to the edge of the barrel-throwing contest so he can just keep watching those guards. He's just...
It takes them, like, a minute or... like one before they notice that one person in particular in the crowd is, and one of them, by the looks of it, a more feminine looking guard, although you can't really make it out, but their build is more slender, and you see a glimpse of a fishtail behind those robes, and she is just keeping an eye on you as well. Meanwhile,
Well, I was going to say, the last thing he does as he's going to slither over, he turns to the side, spits in his hand, and slicks back his hair.
This,
like, puffs up his collar, and is just, and starts slithering over to the feet. He's just, oh God! That's what's going on in his head, and he's just like trying to look as smooth as possible. He just, in the back of his mind, he's just, oh God.
So you're going towards the guard.
Oh, yeah. But okay. Now we go back to everyone. Now you can go back to everyone.
Yeah, let's, okay. So, Nai and T.I., you're salesman. So, hi, gentlemen. Good to see you again. So, but. Where's your fellow with the large barrel?
He's off. He asked me to chuck that barrel. So that's what I'm gonna do.
So, let me, if you, sir, looks at Nai, if you want to throw a barrel or two, then you can buy one for, you can buy like a regular, like old barrel for like 2 copper. Or you can buy a fancy one, like a sturdy one that will get nice and far for 5 copper. And it's, you fill it with like offerings. So food, clothes, like all kinds of things that might appease the Bovmas. Make them happy. And what that is exactly, you can choose all by yourself.
Yeah, I'll pick a fancy barrel.
Fancy barrel, all right, that's 5 copper, please.
I hand it over.
And, well, if you want, like, some memorabilia to throw, like, we have, like, little shirts with the Perils Empire logo on it, for example. Perils Empire logo you see at the top left, by the way. That's the logo of the weapon, the heraldry of the Empire that Kraft is a part of. So we have some Perils logo merchandise here, and... or some simple shirts, some foods, etc., etc. Or you can just put in something you already have yourself, or that you don't need, for example. It's all up to you.
Yeah, I'll buy some memorabilia. And I think he also thinks that he takes out some of the fungi he found that are alchemical stuff, and he's going to put that in there, too.
All right. Excellent. Well, nice doing business with you.
All right, so I would say if you're done, the next round is just about to begin. Head to the top of the hill, to where the rest of the crowd is standing. Wait your turn, and you can throw that barrel as hard as you can.
Hell yeah.
That goes the furthest into the woods gets a special prize. Ah. And pull out all the stops. There is no cheating here. If you can roll it off the ramp into the forest, it's allowed. One thing, you cannot physically touch it. You cannot physically touch the barrel, and you have to keep standing near the apex of the hill. For the rest, go wild.
So, I was gonna chuck the barrel.
Yeah. Guy, go chuck the barrel. I would say, yeah, certainly fine.
Alright, what do I need to roll to chuck this barrel?
A strength check, and because you're using Deckard's lying father barrel, you get a plus one bonus on the strength check.
It's a barrel of lies!
The lies weigh it down. So that's 13 in total. So the barrel flies off, gets pretty far, pretty good far, and there is some enthusiastic clapping, like, whoa, dang! That's a good throw. Good throw. Pretty good throw. Yeah, that's a good throw. Dang. And they expectantly look at the next one, at Nye, to throw his barrel. How are you going to throw yours? Or are you going to do something else?
I gotta do it again. It was such a cool thing. Yeah, because I think Nye's gonna toss the barrel, and at the apex of the... As it hits the top of the ramp, I am going to use one of my spells and cast Steam Wall.
Yeah, for a little bit more height. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Very nice.
So that's a plus two to your roll, a plus one because you're using a fancy barrel, just like T-High. So roll me a strength check with a plus three bonus. Oh. So, the thing is, you do cast your steam wall, but you totally miss your steam wall with the barrel. And it just goes wide and it rolls into the woods. People are like, huh, we like the magic, but...
He's never had this happen before.
And the, let's see, 13, right? Yeah.
I feel like part of it, too, is he's too busy looking in the direction of Deckard, trying to make sure in case he gets yoinked away.
Deckard's just, hey, this isn't about me, this is about you.
T-Hai, the salesman, comes towards you, says, well, sir, that was a mighty fine showing. I think you deserve this. Gives you a veil. This veil... You drink it, will turn your emotions into strength permanently. It's a quite a nifty little alchemical item. Gotta admit.
I'm drinking it right now.
Okay, wow. So.
No hesitation.
None. No hesitation.
Alright. So you drink it. Make me a fortune. I mean,
Oh no.
Let's take a look. Where is it? There it is. Okay. So. You are overcome by a massive wave of emotion, staggering you almost off your feet. After a moment, though, three specific emotions, stand out to you, beckoning you almost to focus on one of them. Which one do you choose? Calm? Contentment? Or, let's say, loyalty?
I'm gonna go with calm.
Calm. Alright, you gain the following benefit. This is active at all times. When you are above 75% of your total hit points, you gain a plus one morale bonus on attack rolls.
Nice.
Okay.
I'm scared about why you would need that, but nice.
Plus one. Can I click something?
Now I posted it in the chat. That is an alchemical boon.
There might be more. Magical boons. Competence boons here.
I don't like how he says that.
We gotta play all the games. I gotta go. I gotta play all the games. I gotta play them all.
You know, it's like I could give you, but you have to play my games.
I'm going to the next one. What's the next game?
Oh, brutal. Little bonuses that don't require any item slots. But then again, magic items in Lugon are exceedingly rare. Anyway, so, yeah, you feel that you have more connected with the calm side of you. And that you are able to place, in that calm, place your attacks more accurately. At least.
When... Yeah.
All right. So, Deckard, you are approaching the guard. You see the guard as you approach, raising an eyebrow at you. And you approach.
Deckard,
how are you playing?
Oh, God. So, he's just... God damn it, Dad. Was there anything you told me that was useful? Please let this be something useful. He stops and he just thinks back to how his dad told him.
Son, you ever encounter a female and you ever need to distract her or try to get some information, try the flirty approach. Remember this music in your head. Bow, wow, wow. And Deckard starts to... As what he thinks in his head is a studly slither, which is just horribly embarrassing. He goes, Well, hi there, pretty thing. What's a lady like you doing in a place like this? ¶¶